You have your Bible this morning, or this afternoon, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter number 4. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 16. The title of the message this afternoon is, What is the Janitor's Name? Interesting. Our task this afternoon is a challenging one. We've got a wide focus with the message today. It's our privilege to ordain Mike for the ministry, and Miss Dana, as she supports him in this ministry there. And ordain a man is to simply say we recognize the call of God upon his life. And we're standing behind them in support and as we pray for them. Now, part of the ordination service, it's customary that we preach a charge or a challenge or an instruction for the one that's being ordained. And it's just a reminder to them of the gravity of the call of God upon their life, the importance about being serious about the call of God on our lives. But in all reality, God has a call on every one of our lives. Amen? See, the Christian life is not a spectator sport. We're to be actively serving God on a daily basis. So part of our service this afternoon, we want to preach a charge to Mike. But at the same time, we want the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart today and minister to you wherever you're at and meet the needs in your life. You would, let's stand, if you will, as we turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I'll read the verses. You can follow along on the screen, and or you can follow along in your Bible as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Now, Father, what a joy it is be a part of an ordination service for another one of your servants. Father, how serious that call is. I pray you'll be with us today as we look at this challenge, not only for Mike and Dana, but also for each and every one of your children. We realize that you have a call upon our lives. May we respond. May we follow you. That's in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I plan to speak for just a few moments, and then we'll have a period of time where we'll come forward and we will lay hands on Mike and pray over him. The board will, and then we will have, we'll also be having a public invitation, and then we'll have a time of presenting them with some special tokens to encourage them as they journey on this newfound journey that God has for them. As we look at our text this morning, Timothy is a young man. He's just in his mid-30s. Probably. For about the last 15 years, he's been traveling throughout the Roman Empire with the Apostle Paul. In the culture of that day, Timothy is considered to be a very young man. And yet Paul will leave him in the city of Ephesus, a very large city with a very large church, and he will charge Timothy with the responsibility of training the pastors and the elders in that church. That's not going to be easy because some of these men have been elders in the church at Ephesus for a number of years. Many of them have been taught by the Apostle Paul himself. And yet Paul would remind Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 that he's expected to correct these men and to correct some things that are not right that were going on in the church there. Timothy had to know how to go about it in the right manner so that he didn't raise the ire of those that were in the church so that he didn't offend these older people that were men that were in the church. He had to know about a way to go about it in a diplomatic way, you might say. Paul will instruct him as a young man that he should minister to those who are older than him. That's not always a good, an easy fit, an easy thing to do. It's not always joy of a pastor that tried to minister to saints that maybe have been Christians longer than he has. But it's clear from this passage that Paul is saying to Timothy, you're going to go in, you've got a job to do, and as you stand before him, you've got to teach. And to Timothy, your whole life has got to support what you're teaching. He'll tell him it's going to be like your whole life has got to be aimed in the right direction for the teaching and the preaching and the sharing of the Word of God. And I think that applies to pastors, that applies to men, that applies to parents, to dads, to moms and dads in the home, to the husbands. See, we have got to live what we profess if we want the respect of those that we are leading, that those that we are over. Our Christian ministry is like a battlefield. And the battle that we're facing are the foes, the enemy of darkness. And we're to be challenging them. We're to be confronting them on every side. I've often heard it talked about that we are like fighter pilots, and we're swiftly going from one direction to the other, pinpointing the enemy as they come to us. And we're to take precise aim at the targets. And as the enemy approaches us, we're to confront them. Now, Paul is warning Timothy to be careful how you fight the battle. Some of you will understand what I'm talking about when I say young pastors often use the flamethrower effect. I mean, they just see sin and they're just going to get everybody. And they're just going to shoot everybody like that. Charles Spurgeon spoke one time in a lecture to his students in London during the last century. And he said to beware of going around like some. Who were shooting from their theological revolvers from their ecclesiastical trousers. I thought that was a rather cute way to phrase it. He went on to say that we had to be careful because sometimes inexperienced or young pastors had the tendency, are you ready for this, to shoot from the lip. You understand what I'm saying? They spoke first and didn't really engage up here what they were saying. Paul is saying when you fight the battle, you got to fight it with your whole life by the way you live. You got to turn your whole frame there and you take precise target at the enemy there. Paul warns Timothy to be careful how you respond to people. He's saying, Timothy, you can turn people off. A lot of times young pastors, a lot of times young men don't realize how they sound to others. And sometimes it'll come off when they try to answer something. It comes off as youthful arrogance. And a lot of times that's just inexperience. A lot of times it's innocent and they're not aware of what they sound like to others. I'm reminded of the verse in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 11 where it says, not let him that girds on his armor boast himself as one that puts it off. And he said, listen, you got to walk the walk before you can talk the talk. And you better be careful how you respond to others. Be careful how you come across to others. Paul will instruct Timothy about the ministry. And I'm going to take three quick thoughts and then just simply a question as we close out this morning about the passage, the verses which we've read. Mike and Dana, when I look at these verses, the Crossing Church as a whole, when I look at these verses, I think it says to us that we are to pursue the Word of God. Meditate. Verse number 15 says, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Another translation said, be diligent in all these matters. Give yourselves completely to them, so that everyone can see your progress. We're to be diligently studying our Bibles. We're to memorize it. We're to get into the Word, but then we're to let the Word to get into us, allow it to get into us. Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he's preaching around the Word. Did you ever think about when you stand up and preach? I don't plan on it this afternoon, but a lot of times the pastors will speak for 30, 35, 40 minutes. Do you ever think about how many hours a pastor puts into study just to speak for a short period of time? It's not just a matter of standing up and sharing some things off the top of your head. It's not a matter of just saying, hey, you know, last night I was just kind of thinking about this and I thought I'd share that with you. It's not getting up on Sunday morning and saying, well, whatever pops in my head, that's what I'll get up and say this morning. I'll be honest with you, you can hear that type of preaching in a lot of churches across the land. But it's pretty shallow preaching, and you can understand it, you can hear it, you can understand what it is when you hear it. Now, Paul says you're to diligently give yourself to the study of the Word of God. A preacher's got to take a passage of Scripture. He's got to outline it. He's got to meditate on it. He's got to research it. He's got to ask questions in his own mind about that passage of Scripture. He's got to look up words in the lexicon about it. He's got to understand those words. He's got to look for illustrations that will drive his point home. He's got to come up with a good introduction and a good closing to draw it all together. Mike, if I can encourage you when you stand to speak, there are two things really critical with your message. You've got to have a good introduction and a good closing. Because people really don't listen to what you say in the middle, okay? If you've got a good introduction and a good closing and you want to make it a good sermon, you put them real close together. They'll love you for that. Preacher goes through doing all of those things and he has to do it without becoming mechanical or artificial. That takes a lot of work. Some of you people say, wouldn't it be too hard to get up and do that? Oh yeah, I've seen some of you come up and try to give an announcement. And you go white-faced and your knees go to shaking and your words don't call to come out to me. They're very coherent and you can't make any sense of what you're saying. Think about what a preacher goes to. He's got to carefully prepare his heart first and then prepare his mind. We're not just talking about current events up here. We're not just giving a booklet to them. We're looking at the ever-living, breathing Word of God that Mike gave us definition. I heard the story of a little girl who wanted to give her grandmother a very special gift. So she went out and bought her grandmother a Bible. And she thought, I want to write something in the front of the Bible that's real special for my grandmother. And her daddy had a quite large library. And she thought, I'll go to my daddy's library and look at all the books in his library. And I'll find one of them that has something good written in the front of it. And I'll copy that down and give it to my grandmother. So she went through the library and she found a book. She thought, that is one of my dad's favorites. So she looked at the inscription on the front cover there. She went to the Bible and she wrote it there for her grandmother. She took the Bible to her grandmother and she was beaming from ear to ear. Couldn't wait for grandma to read it. Her grandmother opened the Bible cover and as she read these words, to Granny, with compliments from the author. You understand, that's what the Bible is. It's God's gift to us from Jesus Christ. I heard this story, Hans Weber, who was an author, relate the story at that was told many times in Eastern Africa. There was a shepherd woman who always walked around. She was always carried a very large Bible. And the other village people made fun of her and laughed at her. And they joked at her all the time. Why she carried that big old Bible? They used to tease her. They'd say, there's all kinds of other books to read. Why do you read that big old Bible? And the woman kept going everywhere throughout the village. They teased her everywhere. So finally one day she knelt down on the city square in the center of the village there. Everyone gathered around her. She held her Bible up high and she said, why do I read the Bible? Because I can read this book, but this book also reads me. You understand what she was saying? What powerful words. This book explains to us who we are, where we are, what we do. Very special book. We're to read it. We're to pursue it. And as pastors and as those who teach and as husbands of the home and parents in the home, we're to make sure that we study the Word of God with a priority. Every Christian, if you want to live a victorious Christian life, you've got to diligently study the Word of God. So first of all, we pursue the Word of God. Second of all, we're to practice the Word of God. That means we're to live it. In verse number 16, it said, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Another version said, watch your life and your doctrine closely. See, there's a profound theological principle here. A profound psychological principle here, even if you will. You can only give others what you yourself first have experienced. Nothing more. You cannot tell them about it if you've not done it. A pastor can never bring anyone to a maturity that he himself has not already obtained. He cannot lead anyone further in their walk with Christ than he himself has gone. Pastors and teachers and preachers must themselves be growing, being impacted by the Word of God. We've got to be constantly growing and maturing if we want to do want to help others to grow and mature. That's why Paul said to Timothy, so that your progress may be seen. The Word of God has got to become personal in our own heart. He said, take heed unto thyself, in the verse number 16. In other words, watch how you live. People are watching. The preacher was out one day. He was building a trellis, training his tomatoes to grow up. And he noticed that there was one of the little boys from the Sunday school that had come by and was standing behind him just watching him. And the preacher kept building the trellis and nailing the hammers and hammering the nails and putting the boards together. And the little boy just sat there watching. The preacher thought he'd finally go away, but the boy never left. Finally, the preacher turned around and said, son, are you trying to learn how to be a good gardener? The little boy said, nope. He said, well, why do you keep watching me? He said, I just want to know what does a preacher say when he hits his thumb. They're watching us. They're watching us. We do most of our preaching by the way we live. Pastor Mike, I've heard you say it a dozen times. Quoted Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. They're watching us. If we're going to feed others spiritually, we've got to feed ourselves. You can never lead them where you've not been. We've got to pursue the Word of God. We're to practice the Word of God. But thirdly, he said we're to preach the Word of God. Verse 13. Back up verse 13, it says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. The NIV says, devote yourself to public reading of the Scripture and to preaching and to teaching. Timothy was to read the Scripture. Then it said he was to exhort, he was to proclaim, he was to get up and make it clear what the Scripture was saying. A congregation meets, I like this book, a congregation meets to hear the Word of God, taught by the man of God, led by the Spirit of God, planting that Word in every individual's life and heart. That's what our services are all about. Paul gives us some steps in the process behind this. He said in verse number 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Paul had referred to Timothy on other occasions in 2 Timothy. He would tell him to rekindle the gift of God that is in you. Understand that every believer is given a spiritual gift when you come to Christ. See, it's not just pastors that have a spiritual gift. And Paul says, now that you've got a spiritual gift, you are expected to use that. Some people thought that Paul had the gift of evangelism. Because in 2 Timothy, Timothy is told to do the work of an evangelist. Others think that Timothy had the gift of being a pastor teacher. And I think that was probably it, if not a combination of the two. Because you see, many times God will give His servants multiple gifts. The spiritual gift will give you a personal flavor to your ministry. If an individual has the gift of evangelism, they will be an evangelist sharing the gospel. If an individual has the gift of being a pastor, they will look at Scripture from the standpoint of feeding the flock. If a pastor is a teacher, he'll look at the Scripture from a view of instructing and teaching. I think we've got a wonderful blend of pastoral preachers and teachers here at the Crossing Church. We've got various men who share on the platform and they handle the Word of God in different ways. I don't know whether you've ever noticed or not, but Pastor Cotter, I believe, has a gift of synthesizing. He's putting together the various Scriptures. That's what the New Testament calls the gift of knowledge. He's able to bring together the various passages so they come into focus for us. And he'll stress a certain line of teaching that's very effective, very powerful. the way he brings all the scriptures together. Pastor Wayne, when he preaches for us, has a gift of systemizing. Again, that's the gift of teaching. Very singular. But he has a way of putting together scriptures in a logical order, so the 1, 2, 3 of truth. Pastor Mike Pratt, when he's preached for us, he's always talking about reaching the world around us. Pastor Pratt has the gift of evangelism. Jacob Avicenna, our missionary, has preached for us just a few weeks ago. I believe that he has the gift of analyzing. When you're hearing, he has a unique insight to Scripture. He can be presented in a penetrating way so that you can see life's principle behind that Scripture. It's the manifestation of what Paul would say in 1 Corinthians is the gift of wisdom. I see it when Pastor Jacob preaches. I believe personally that in a way that I have the gift of dramatizing, if you will, what Scripture would call the gift of exhortation. Many have told me, preacher, when you preach, you paint a picture with brilliant colors, and I see what you're talking about. But all of those approaches to the Word of God are good. We're presenting the gospel with the flavor, the flair that God has given us. Paul would make it clear in 1 Corinthians, if you try to divide the church up and say, I'm of this one, or I'm of that one, or I like this preacher, or that preacher better, Paul said that's wrong. They were saying, I am Paul, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, and I like Cephas. Paul said that's a very childish way to respond. Pastor's job is to preach the Word. But it's all of our job to preach the Word as well. If we're going to be effective in presenting the gospel, we're going to have to see these things. I've used the illustration before. A man by the name of Larry Waters was a gentleman about 33 years old. Lived out in California. He said, you know, I'd like to see my neighborhood from a different angle. Went down to the Army surplus store. He purchased 45 weather balloons. That afternoon, he sat down in a lawn chair. He strapped those leather balloons to the chair, and his friends filled those weather balloons full of heat. He took him a six-pack, put it in his lap. He got a peanut butter sandwich, and he got a BB gun. He said, I figure that thing's going to carry me up a couple of 100 feet, maybe. And when I get tired of floating around up there, I'll take the BB gun, and I'll shoot out the weather balloons, and I'll gently come back down to earth. It didn't quite work that way. When they cut all the ropes loose of him in that lawn chair with all of those weather balloons, he shot up into the air over 10,000 feet. He was right in the middle of the air traffic pattern for the Los Angeles Airport, LA International. He was too frightened to shoot any balloons, and he stayed up in the air for over 2 hours. The airport had to shut down a lot of their runways and had to divert some of their planes because he was right in the middle of all their paths. After he got back down to the ground, after the police had finished citing him with different reasons, reporters asked him 3 questions. Were you scared? Yeah, sure was. They said, would you do it again? He said, nope, not on your life. Then they asked him, why did you do it? He said, because you can't just sit there. I can done it, I'm proud of it. But answer God's question. Understand. Church, we're to all be involved in getting out the gospel. It doesn't mean that every one of us is called to be a pastor, every one of us steps out into the ministry in some way, but all of us are to be doing something we can't do something. We need to be about the master. Savannah, I want you to come and close with another one more illustration.